Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I take the Word of God and through the internet, deliver it to you. Before I get into the message today, I do want to let you know that I am sitting outside on my porch in this beautiful 80-degree weather we're having here in New Jersey, and after the long winter we've had, I could not think of a better way of spending this day and recording this podcast than by sitting outside and delivering it to you. So, you will hear cars go by, you will hear the wind blow, you will hear possibly birds chirping, and maybe even me trying to dodge some bees who are out and about pollinating God's green earth. But that is all good. So today's message is our faith, and it is based on 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Let us dive into the Word today. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus was revealed as God's Son by his baptism, in water and by shedding his blood on the cross. Not water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. Amen. How many of you have siblings? Now, how many of you always got along with your siblings when growing up? And how many of you still don't get along with your siblings? I love my sister with all my being. I would do anything for her. Now, don't get me wrong. That does not mean we always got along. I would be lying to say we always did. There were times that when me and my sister totally couldn't stand each other, which is the case for most siblings, right? There are always those times when siblings are on each other's nerves. There was one time when my sister and I were outside, and she was on the road outside of our house, and I was in the yard, and she was throwing rocks at me. Yes, you heard me right. My sister, the girl, was throwing rocks at me, the boy. So she kept throwing rocks, and I kept telling her, you know, stop. Stop it. Stop it, or I'm going to tell Mom. Stop it, or I'm going to tell Dad. And she'd throw another rock. And I'd say, stop it. Please, just stop it. And she'd throw another rock. You know, this is typical for siblings. Finally, after telling her and telling her and telling her, asking her and asking her and pleading with her to stop throwing rocks, and she thought it was the funniest thing in the world, I picked up a rock and threw it back. And with that one rock, I hit her in the back of the head because she turned. You know, seeing it coming toward her, she turned and it hit her in the back of the head. And then I noticed that her blonde hair was no longer blonde, but red. And I'm not just talking about a spot of red. I'm talking about the entire back of her head, the entire hair in the back of her head was red. And I freaked out. Not joking you, totally freaked out, and ran into the house. Mom, Dad, you gotta come out and find out, what's going on. And so they run outside and they see her red head, and their heads went red, if you catch my drift. And they look at me and they say, what did you do? And I said, she kept throwing rocks at me and kept throwing rocks at me. Yeah, but what did you do? And so finally I confessed, well, I picked one up and threw it back at her. Well, boy, did I get in trouble. And to be fair, she was not always the one who started things. And to make sure that you're all on the same page, she ended up okay. As it turns out, if you just even slightly nick the head, even paper cut yourself on the head bleeds out extraordinarily. She was fine. No concussions, no need for staples or stitches. She just was bleeding because of where the rock hit her. And so it wasn't a catastrophe, thankfully, but boy, was I in trouble. But to be fair, she was not always the one who started things. I remember when I first came back to Christianity, I had that newborn fire in me. You feel me there? Do you know what I'm talking about? I am an all or nothing kind of person. And I had been watching this program on evangelism, and I figured I would give it a go on my sister. Lucky her, right? And I began to point out to her all the ways in which she was sinning per the Ten Commandments, and all the ways, and that all that she needed to do is to repent and turn to Jesus to avoid an eternity in hell. Yep. That is what I was telling her. And that went over oh so well. Not. It drove, actually, a wedge between my sister and I and put me in hell because I near destroyed my relationship with my sister. No joke. I near destroyed my relationship with my sister. And as a result of that, it took a long time to, you know, kind of work through that with her and to kind of right those wrongs. It took quite a long time, actually. And so it was not perhaps the best approach to bringing her or anybody to a relationship with Jesus. But I was, as they would say, on fire for the Lord. But there's a saying I've come to realize as the truth, and that is, wisdom without faith is dead. And faith without wisdom is deadly. You kind of really need the two, and I was lacking certainly in the wisdom. I had the faith, but I didn't have the wisdom. And anyway, it did not go over well. With that said, through the mistakes and through the rough times, my sister and I are best friends. I mean, we really are. And I would do anything for her. I would imagine most of us would do anything for our brothers and sisters, unless you're in the category of not speaking with your brother or sister for whatever reason. And, you know, there are people out there who, for whatever reason, have those relational issues. But most of us would do anything for our siblings. So my question is this. How do you view the members of the church? Do you look at them as brothers and sisters, as divinely begotten siblings to whom we are commanded to care for? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not just asking about members of your place of worship, but members of the church. Members of the church universal, you know, the Holy Catholic Church, not necessarily the Roman Catholic Church, though that is a part of the church universal, but the Holy Universal Church, the global church, all Christians throughout all times, throughout all places, the universal church. Do you view the members of the church global, of the church universal, do you view those Christians in this world, the Christians in this world, as your brothers and your sisters? I have often heard people gripe about supporting ministries in other countries, you know, that we should be supporting the Christians here, we should be supporting the people here. Friends, the church does not belong to any country. There is no American church. There is no Italian church, though you may think the Vatican to be that. There is no church of whatever, put your nation in it. There is no national church. There is one church and one church only, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ, which is universal, it is global, and you belong to it. But I've heard people gripe about supporting ministries in other countries, and that is wrong, because we don't belong to any country. Rather, the church belongs to God's kingdom. Amen? We are citizens of God's kingdom. We are brothers and sisters by virtue of God, by virtue of our connection to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now, John is letting us know where our priority ought to be, to love one another. And this has been repeated over and over in John, which means you should make note of it. It is based on Jesus' command in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, for us to love each other. And it says that in that same chapter, only when we obey that command and love each other do we remain in Christ's love. So it's important. We are to love each other. And even if it means laying down our lives for each other. That is the challenge. That is what John is charging us with. So, I say this to you. Till death do we part. Let us love each other. Let us not just say we love each other. Let us not just pretend to love each other. Let us not just like the idea of loving each other, but let us really, truly, and fully love each other. Till death do we part. For that, my friends, is the fruit of our faith. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for all who are listening to this message right now, this message that reminds us that your command for us is to love one another, to be love in the lives of each other, and to be love in the world, to be the presence of your love in the world. So help us and guide us along on that journey to grow more fully in your love as you have commanded us to. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And so I want to thank you for tuning in today and for joining me for this message, Our Faith, based on 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. It was a pleasure coming from sunny 80-degree New Jersey outside in the beautiful weather to record this for you. And I just hope that you take the sunshine that I am feeling here and place it in your heart, for it is the light of Christ that guides you. Until next time, my friends, may God's blessing be upon you and be a blessing to others. Amen.